Thank you.
So when I hand over, start fucking.
Hello.
Wait. How does that go? At least you got the fuck up out of the way early.
Oh, fuck. I stepped on the dog's ball.
From the burning mesas of the Arizona desert to the slot machine clad boardwalks of New Jersey, it's the Imaginarium with Scott and Todd. I'm Scott Colbert.
And I am the horror nerd, Todd Staruch.
And I'm not sure if you were aware of this or not, simply because you posted about this on your Facebook page, but we had a football game here in Phoenix over the weekend.
What?
Yeah.
You don't say.
Yeah, we hosted the Super Bowl this weekend.
I had no idea.
Didn't even know it was on, did you?
Nope.
And I know you hate when people say that, which is why, of course, I said that, because I'm a dick.
What is this superb owl of which you speak?
I'm not going to go into it other than to say traffic for the past week has been horrendous here.
I can only imagine.
It's awful. We've had the Super Bowl a couple of times here, and it's sucked each and every time it's been here for the residents. Everybody else seems to have a good time, and good for them, because they deserve it, especially for the money they pay for the tickets to even see it. But we had beautiful weather all weekend, actually for the entire week leading up to the Super Bowl. And then yesterday, the day after, rained like a son of a bitch. And got hail in parts of town. Flagstaff got over a foot of snow.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, we had a storm come blowing through. So I guess, but I suppose if that's the trade-off for being able to host the Super Bowl, I guess that's fine. I don't know. I didn't watch it myself. I didn't see any of the commercials or any of the movie attractions that we're going to talk about until yesterday, actually. And then I went and I actually didn't watch the commercials. I just watched the movie trailers.
Gotcha.
That we'll talk about later on. But did you watch it? I think you did. Didn't you have like a party or something?
Yeah, I did. I had, you know, my brother, a couple other people were over, you know, and we had some food and we watched the game. You know, it's look, and people, it's funny. Some of my friends are like, Todd, why do you let yourself get so upset? And I'm like, dude, no. You misunderstand. I just like to comment on my observations about the human condition. Watch the Super Bowl. Don't watch the Super Bowl. I don't fucking care. I don't lose sleep over it. You know, I have always found it amusing when people have to loudly proclaim how they are not participating in whatever the current popular thing is. That's all. I find that amusing. It's like, does it make you edgy and special? You know?
I get that. And we've talked about that on the show, a couple of times. And I remember when The Walking Dead, when it first came out, and it was such a big deal. It was really, it was a huge water cooler type show.
Yeah, biggest show on TV for the first few years.
And as I've told you, and as I've said on the show, I watched a few episodes of the first season, and I liked it, but I just never could be bothered to watch the rest of it. And when it was finally streaming, I did get through the first season, but I just couldn't get through the second season. You know, but I didn't feel the need to post on social media how it was overrated or it sucked or anything like that. It just wasn't for me.
Right.
From the second season on. You know, right. Nobody cares if I liked it or not.
Right. Dude, there are 1,000 things I don't like. I think golf is the dumbest game ever invented. As a result, I do not watch the tournaments. I do not play golf. Yeah. I don't think about it. I don't talk about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's one of those things. Oh, the Masters is on? Cool. Yeah. I'll probably like pay attention to like who wins because it's a big event, you know?
Yeah, we had the Phoenix Open or whatever the fuck it's called these days now, prior to the Super Bowl the week before. And I didn't even realize that until I read it somewhere. And I should know it because they've been doing that for years and years now, having that big golf tournament here before the Super Bowl. But I just could give less than a fuck about golf. It's it's as George Carlin would say, it's an arrogant, elitist sport.
Yep.
And I agree with him on that.
But yeah, I mean, and the thing is, like, Pete, when it comes to the Super Bowl, it's more of a cultural phenomenon now. Like, I know a lot of people who don't remotely care about the game. It's just another excuse to have some food and drinks and, you know, and have a party and have people over and, you know, maybe do the Super Bowl boxes, you know, where you can win some money. And that's it. Like, it's just another excuse to party.
Yeah. And I heard a lot of stuff about the halftime show, of course, with Rihanna. And I just, you know, dude, I let's face it, you know, Rihanna is not my cup of tea. That she doesn't perform the kind of music that I listen to or that I like. Does that mean it's bad? No, but I'm not a good judge of that type of music and whether it's good or bad or not, because I don't listen to it enough to say, hey, that's a good pop song or a good R&B song or good rap or whatever the fuck it is she sings, because I don't even really know. I just know who she is. But you would think everybody's a fucking musicologist.
Right.
You know, and they're a PhD in music or something.
Two interesting things about that. One, so just real quick, I watched the whole thing. I watched the game. I watched the halftime show, and I didn't hate it. I recognized a bunch of the songs. It was a little busy for me. Like, I don't know if you watched any of it, like a video on YouTube or anything.
No, but I didn't.
She had literally like a million dancers and stuff.
Oh, yes,
it was a little busy.
Actually, I did see pictures of it, though. I did.
And yeah. But I thought that the floating platforms that they were on were really cool.
Yeah.
And she had fucking balls to be that high up in the air, even though clearly she was tethered. You know, she had was tethered to like a thing, you know, so she wouldn't fall. But it was okay. Again, I'm like you. I don't listen to her song. It's not my thing, you know. But I thought it was good. It didn't, for me, it didn't rank up there entertainment-wise. Among the top Super Bowl halftime shows, an interesting thing is I saw more people. Like on my, I can only speak for myself and my social media experience. I saw more people complaining about people who were complaining about it than any actual complaints about the show itself.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like most people said what you said. Like, it wasn't my cup of tea, but it wasn't terrible. You know, it wasn't like Black Eyed Peas terrible, you know, like where people were like, dear God, what is happening? But whatever, man, she's cool. She, you know, I thought, you know, it was a fun performance, a good performance, and she's pregnant at the time. So I was like, holy shit. Like, I don't know that I would have the guts to get on one of them floating platforms at all under any circumstances.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Right? And she did. That's
certainly not happening in my lifetime.
Yeah. So good for her, you know?
One funny thing that I did see, there were some conservative groups, or I should say conservative Christian groups, that were very upset because they thought she was wearing a belt that had a pentagram on it. And it turned out it was just the buckle for the harness that was holding her up.
Jesus Christ.
That's when you know people are stretching to find something offensive about it.
Jesus H. Crutch. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Whatever, man.
Well, no, exactly.
I can't even process that, you know?
Right?
Like, really, like, that's what you're looking for, you know?
Well, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Anywho.
All right. So do we want to lead off with the
we might as well. We might as well, because my heart was broken today when I heard the news.
Yes, Raquel Welch passed away, age 82. And here's the thing about this. And I mentioned before I had kind of a funny story. And how funny you think it is just depends on how stupid you think I am. Which I know is pretty stupid.
No comment. So,
but for 40 odd years, from the first time I ever saw Barbarella when I was like 12, I always assumed that that was Raquel Welch in the role. And when I saw that she had died today, and I'm looking through all of these comments and people's posting about her, and none of them are mentioning Barbarella. And I'm like, that's the only movie I knew her from. And she wasn't even fucking in it. It was Jane goddamn Fonda.
Oh, my God.
And I am so glad I didn't mention that anywhere on social media, because I was very close to posting that on Facebook. I mean, I literally had to look it up just to make sure, because then I started doubting myself because nobody had mentioned it. They mentioned 1 million BC and her fur outfit in that.
Yeah, the fur bikini, which I'm sure they wore a million.
Oh, absolutely. You know, and they all looked like her, too.
Right.
You know, and all the men looked like Sean Connery and Zardoz.
Oh, God, why did you have to put that image in my head? Thank you, you prick.
Yeah. No jerk enough for you tonight.
Which it was supposed, this was supposed to be the year that everyone was dressing like that. And I must say, I'm a little disappointed that I haven't seen any of that yet.
Well, you haven't seen me.
That's true. Damn it. You had your chance. It was Valentine's Day.
I know, right? That's right. It was Valentine's Day. And a couple of days early, it was Peter Gabriel's birthday.
Yes.
He turned 73.
Supposedly, he's going on tour this year.
Yes, he is. His new album is coming out this year, which I think we talked about at one point.
We did.
Io. Two songs from it have been released. He's releasing a single every full moon. Why? Okay. Because he's Peter Gabriel and he just does shit like that.
Exactly.
But the two songs that he's released so far, Panopticon and The Court, I really, really like.
I haven't heard the second one yet. I did like Panopticon.
The Court is really kind of, it's a throwback in a lot of ways to stuff from his third album. There's a lot of stuff from these two songs that is unmistakably Peter Gabriel. Mm. You know, nobody else could have made these songs other than him, which what I always love about him is even his pop songs like Sledgehammer or Big Time or whatever, you know, it's him. Nobody else could have ever written those songs. And even when people cover them, there's still something missing from it because it's not Peter Gabriel doing it.
Agreed.
You know, and there's very, very few artists that have that kind of craftsmanship. So, but yes, he's supposed to be touring the U.S. in the fall.
That was quite a tangent.
It was. I'm not sure where that... I don't know how I got on that from
Raquel
Welch.
I don't know.
But you have my sympathies. I know she was a big, yes, big pinup icon for many. She was the cause of many seeds to be spilled.
Yes. Yes. Interesting story that I read a long time ago about her. You know, she's in the film Fantastic Voyage, which I love that movie, by the way. But there's a scene where they get attacked by these things that are supposed to be antibodies, right? And she's being crushed to death because they're crystallizing and they're strangling her. And the crew is like trying to pull all these things off of her. She wrote years later that she knew what was happening. Like the male actors were using it as an excuse to just cop a feel, you know, because she was in that skin tight white diving suit, whatever it was. And she just said, yeah, but back then no one ever said anything about stuff like that. Like it happened and you just sucked it up. She was like, it was one of my first films, so I didn't want to make waves or anything. And so I just let it go. And she kind of laughed about it like years later. But I just remember that. I clearly remember that story because I can see that scene like in my head. But
and she clearly remembered it too.
Yeah.
You know, that's not something she ever forgot.
Yeah. But so. She was always on my list of people that, you know, celebrities that I regretted never meeting. You know, I always wanted to meet Raquel and I never did. I met Tina Louise like quite a few times, but never Raquel. And they kind of remind each other, me of each other, you know?
Yeah.
Because of the hair and everything. But, oh, Raquel.
And apparently she reminds me of Jane Fonda. So.
Yeah. Well, I can see that. I actually can.
I mean, there actually is a resemblance between them because.
Yeah.
You know, Jane Fonda, I mean, she was a knockout.
Dude, she was gorgeous, and she was totally hot in Barbarella.
Yeah, she was, absolutely. And maybe that's why I just confused her with Raquel Welch. But, you know, hey, I've confused worse things in my life,
that's
believe
true.
Me. That's not mayonnaise? Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
Oh, we veered in the ditch.
Yeah, 16 minutes and 53 seconds, folks, and we awesome. Plowed right into a tree on the side of the road. But dude, there was another, I mean, obviously, as we record this, Raquel passed away today. But a few days ago, a huge notable death in Burt Bacharach.
That's right.
And, you know, people kind of, I think of him as like the movie song guy, but he wrote so many huge songs.
He did.
Yeah. Of course, I can't think of any of them right now, but Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. Walk On
Although
By.
Technically, that could be considered a movie song.
It is. Do You Know the Way to San Jose? Like you wrote all those songs for Dionne Warwick. Say a Little Prayer, Alfie. Oh my God.
See, you say these song names and I immediately know the tune and at least the opening lines to it.
Yep.
You know, so that's the kind of impact he had. Plus, I remember him doing a commercial, and I forget who he did it with, but it was for Manischewitz wine.
Maybe.
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to have to look that up now.
But I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at his career. I forgot that he was married to Carol Bayer Sager. Another huge, songwriter. And he was married to fucking Angie Dickinson.
Yeah, go figure.
But dude, I had the album that he did with Elvis Costello. I had on vinyl. I mean, the Painted from Memory is a great, great album.
Yeah, that really is a good album.
But okay, so did you find it?
Yeah, it was Angie Dickinson that he was in those commercials. Martini and Rossi, Asti Spumanti.
Asti Spumanti, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Martini and Rossi.
Yeah. Stop it immediately.
Now, all of these things are going to be going through my head now. And the reason that I knew Burt Bacharach was married to Carol Bayer Sager was because of that line in Monty Python's The Meaning of Life, where that couple is sitting down and they're talking about things that they were wondering what they could talk about while they were waiting for their food. And the woman, played by Eric Idle, is talking about Burt Bacharach, and she goes, and he was married to Carol Bayer Sager. That's the only reason I knew that he was married to her, was because of that fucking line.
That's funny. That's funny. Dude, I always thought it was awesome how he was in all the Austin Powers movies.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Burt Bacharach. What the world needs now.
Yeah, he has a long, long list of excellent, excellent songs, classics. And he wrote a Broadway musical, too.
That he did. And I can't
remember. Which I wasn't aware of until somebody mentioned it on TikTok. I think it was called Promises, Promises.
Let's see. Theatrical works. Promises, Promises. Yep. Composer. Yep. 1968.
Yeah.
Oh, The Boy from Oz. He was an additional composer for.
Oh, and wow.
And then just recently, My Best Friend's Wedding with Hal David.
Yeah, well, he and Hal David worked together for centuries. Yeah. You know, Hal David was his Bernie Taupin to Elton John.
That's a pretty good comparison, I must say.
Yeah, I thought so. That's why I said it.
Look at you. Occasionally, you come up with a good one.
Every once in a while. That's it for another 3-4 years, I suppose.
Let's see. Well, as a musician for Neil Diamond, Aretha Franklin, Barbra Streisand, Natalie Cole, Patti LaBelle, holy shit, Carly Simon. Like, he pretty much worked with everybody.
Yeah.
94, man. That's a pretty good run right there.
That's a great run.
I must say. I mean, he was working, obviously, right up until recently. That's crazy.
Was he? Well, good for him.
Yeah, well, 2021 is he with Hal David with that musical that I just
mentioned. Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I realized that was like 3 minutes ago, so it's easy to understand how you forgot about it already.
Well, it is. Yeah, my short-term memory really does kind of suck. You know, my long-term memory isn't much better, but better than my short-term. You know, they said my short-term memory would come back after I had that little mini stroke, but it doesn't seem to have come back much at all. What was I talking about?
Don't know.
That was a joke.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, well, there's a bit I'm going to cut out.
Anyway, what are we moving on? What is our topic?
Well, let's move on. Well, we're going to do our celebrity death guests for the year. But I want to talk about the movie trailers that came out with, you know, during the Super Bowl, because there were three big ones. It was The Flash, Indiana Jones, and what was the third one?
Well, there were a few. It depends on what you consider big. So let's see. the 11 biggest movie trailers from the Super Bowl.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes. I mean, Creed 3, but I've seen trailers for that already.
Well, so I didn't see that because I'm, after the first Rocky, I just kind of lost interest in all the other ones.
Fair enough.
And I didn't even see Creed when it came out.
They're actually good. The Creed movies I thought were good.
Okay.
So, yeah, they're not, it's the passing of the torch, as it were.
Yeah.
You know? So, all right. So which one you want to start with?
Well, let's start with the Guardians of the Galaxy first. It looks really good, but I'm not sure I'm emotionally equipped to watch it because I know that's going to be like a five hanky movie. I just fucking know it.
I think so, too.
And I love those Guardian movies so much. I love the interplay between all the characters in that, that I can't, I don't want to deal with losing any of them,
Yeah.
But it's Guardians of the Galaxy. It's James Gunn. It's more of the same. And I'm there for that. I love those are my favorite Marvel movies next to Spider-Man, are the Guardian of the Galaxy movies. I love them. I think they're a lot of fun. They're exciting. They're gorgeous, just like all the Marvel movies are with the CGI. And they're just, they don't take themselves seriously.
Exactly.
Which the other Marvel movies tend to do.
Sometimes. I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, what's funny is no one, like, when Marvel said they were going to do a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, almost everyone was like, really? They're like B-listers in the Marvel universe, you know?
Yeah.
And then it was fucking awesome, you know? And I've been waiting. Like, I know that in this one, we'll get to see Adam Warlock finally and High Evolutionary. So... Yeah. It should be pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, so I'm going to bring my hankies when it comes out because I will see that. I will see that in a theater. I may even see it in IMAX if it's in IMAX.
And it probably will be. Most of the Marvel ones, most of the later Marvel ones anyway,
yeah,
were released in IMAX. So
yeah,
that comes out May the 5th. By then, I should have my A-list back in time for the summer movies. The Flash trailer was good. I knew kind of what the big reveal was going to be already, as far as a certain Caped Crusader.
Well, yeah, Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
But, dude, when he said, I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
Did your balls not just shrink up?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It was awesome.
I got chills just saying that. Goosebumps just thinking back to that. That was so cool. But, and then the Ben Affleck Batman will be in it, too. But yep,
General Zod.
General back. Zod.
Yep, Michael Shannon is General Zod.
Michael Keaton is 71.
He's that old?
Yes. And I'm thinking, do we really need a 70-year-old Batman?
Well, it depends. Like, it depends. Like, in there were a lot of really great comic book storylines where, with the old Bruce Wayne,
Yeah.
And how he's handling aging. So it depends on how they handle it,
Yeah.
But of course, I don't know if you got the memo, Scott, but we're not supposed to be excited about the trailer or the movie because of the accusations against Ezra Miller.
Yeah, I understand that. But
to be fair, like, he does seem like a creepy fucking weirdo,
yeah.
But
Absolutely. He has issues, to say the least.
And look, if he committed any crimes, he should totally be prosecuted. Fuck the movie. Absolutely. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. And maybe this is controversial to even say it, but what is Warner Brothers supposed to do? They've spent $200 million on this movie.
Well, yeah. They're going to shit can it. I don't think so. You know, will they get maybe another actor if they do another Flash movie? Probably. But, you know, here's the thing. I really like Ezra Miller. When he was in the Batman, it was the Ben Affleck Batman movie, which...
Yeah, he was in Batman versus Superman and, you know, and Justice League.
Yeah. He was some of my favorite parts of those movies. I guess probably because it was kind of comic relief, but I thought Ezra Miller was really, really fantastic.
Yeah, I liked him. Yeah.
And he looks like he's going to do a bang up job in this too. Because he's actually, you know, he's kind of playing a double role. There's two Barrys in it. So I think he, you know, it's going to be kind of a tour de force type of thing for him. And, you know, we have talked about this so many times, you know, about cancel culture and whatnot. But, you know, here's the thing. I've heard people say, you know, we should boycott it because of Ezra Miller and blah, blah, blah. And then there's the other side that says, well, think of all the people that worked on it. It's not fair to them. Well, they already got paid. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, the crew, you know, building sets and shit like that have, you know, profit sharing in the movie. You know, it's only the big names, you know, have that. So, you know, it's not like anybody's going to be not getting paid if people boycott the movie. But I just think it's silly. You know, you've got to separate the artist from the art. Because let's face it, most artists are a little bit dingy to begin with. Look at me.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's example. Fair. You know.
That is fair.
And if we boycotted everything because an actor or writer or director or whatever the case may be did something that we didn't like or didn't agree with, or was suspect in some way, we wouldn't see, watch, hear, or listen to anything.
That is true. You know, and having said that, man, I just think that everyone needs to just follow their own inner voice. And if people feel strongly about it, just don't go see it. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
You know, like anything, if you want to boycott it, you know, yeah. Okay.
It's like the new Harry Potter game, Hogwarts Legacy.
Oh, dude, please don't even light my fuse on that. please. But you're 100% right. You're 100% right. It's the same thing. Let it fucking go.
Yep.
You know?
If you want to play it, play it. If you want to see it, see it. If you don't, don't. But
I mean, it looks good. The game looks good. Like, I hope it comes on Game Pass, because if it does, I'll get it. I'm not going to spend $60 on it, because I'm just not that interested in it. But if it comes onto Game Pass, I will absolutely play it.
When it goes on sale on Switch, I'll get it.
I mean, the other thing that was controversial, let's go off on this tangent, about that game, is like, apparently it's truly open world. Like, you're not forced to be like a good guy. Like, if you want to be evil and cast like the forbidden spells, you can do it.
Yeah.
You know, the game doesn't stop you from playing the bad guy. And I'm kind of okay with that.
I'm very okay with that.
You know, like, I don't understand. Like 9-year-olds can play Call of Duty where they're shooting at like actual realistic human beings in the face. But a game where it's like wizards and like a fantasy world, that we have a problem with. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
you know, society's has some real society is just so fucking stupid sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I hope we're in the end times. Not because I'm religious by any stretch of the imagination, but just so we can be done with all of this fucking nonsense and start over again.
Well, that's why in 2024 I'm voting for giant meteor.
I'm voting for the balloons that are floating over.
Right? Listen, I personally welcome our new alien overlords.
Yes, absolutely. I always knew they were going to be lizard people, too.
Get our stupid human asses in line.
Well, but, find out V wasn't just a movie. It was a documentary. You remember that series V?
Oh, V. Dude, I love it. And they have been talking about like a remake or a reboot for years. And I'm like, yes, please. Because imagine if they did that with like updated effects and a big budget and everything.
Yeah. That I would love to see. Yeah.
And I had such a crush on Jane Badler.
Of course you did.
I really did. There are a few people I didn't have crushes on.
Well, I was going to say, you know, and anything with a pair of milk sacks on them.
Yes, exactly. Give me a nice set of mommy milkers.
Yeah, they didn't even have to have a pulse, just as long as they...
Okay, moving on. Every time I see the Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny trailer, I think about one thing in my head. Please don't suck. Please don't suck. Please don't suck.
Yeah.
But I will say I have seen images of like the de-aging technology, and it seems like they finally got it right. You know, it looks pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah. Well, you saw a little bit of it in the trailer when he's in the car in the parade.
Right.
There's that whole sequence. And he looked fantastic. And John Rhys-Davies is in it again.
Yep.
So yeah. Good to see him. I've missed him because I haven't seen him in anything since he was Gimli.
Yeah, I don't think I have either.
You know, and he probably didn't need to work. He probably made some decent coin on the Lord of the Ring movies.
I'm sure.
So, but it's good to see him again. And it looks like fun.
It does. You know? And look, man, there's certain things that are just, I get made the hairs on my arms stand up. Like when he walks past the table and picks up the fedora.
Yeah.
You know, and when that music, the score swells, I'm like, oh, please. I'm like, I'm in. I'm all in. I'm like, just please don't suck. And here's my fear, right? And I'm going to I'll give you the address for the hate mail, everybody. I just have this sinking suspicion that they're going to use this Dial of Destiny MacGuffin to like retro it or retcon it so that this, you know, the character that's going to be played by Phoebe Waller-Bridge will then like take over the mantle as the new Indiana Jones type character. And I just don't want that. I just want the series to close the way it should have before Kingdom of the Crystal Skull dicked it all up. You know what I mean? And yeah, and it has nothing to do with her or that I don't like women. Or if you want, like, how about we create like a new series with a new character, you know, and have it, you know, all the women you want, you know. To me, the character of the Indiana Jones and the hero archaeologist, that's Harrison Ford, and that's that. I'm sorry.
Well, I think it's probably going to be something like a daughter or a granddaughter or something like that.
Well, she plays his goddaughter.
Okay. And I don't have an issue with that if it's a relative of his. I really don't. Now, if they were making her, if they were going to call her Indiana Jones and make it like she was the Harrison Ford character, then I would probably have some issues with it. But with her just kind of, you know, being a relative, goddaughter, whatever, I don't necessarily have a problem with that. I think it'll be cool to kind of have those type of movies come out every few years. Because you know, we have big budget action movies like the Marvel movies and, you know, whatever James Cameron pukes out every 10, 12 years or so.
Dude, do not ever, no matter what you think of the movies, do not ever count out James Cameron, because Avatar 2 is still cranking out fucking money.
I know.
Like
I
a know. Freaking printing press.
You know, I get it. But it's going to be good. Although I did read that Harrison Ford said he couldn't imagine anybody else, you know, playing his role, and he would not want anybody else doing it while he was still alive.
Good for him. I hadn't heard that he said that, but you know what? Good for him.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that really is his role. He defined that. He defined Indiana. He defined Han Solo. He gets shit for being kind of wooden. And let's face it, he is. But he's just fun to watch. He has that kind of screen presence of old Hollywood. And it's just not something you really see anymore.
That's true.
You know, and that's not knocking this generation of actors by any stretch of the imagination. But there's just a presence to him that you don't really see. Leonardo DiCaprio had it for a long while. But as he's gotten older and I don't want to say pudgier because it looks more puffy to me. He doesn't have it quite as much.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
He's got that je ne sais quoi.
Yes.
And what you say. Yeah, so hey, that's my $5 French phrase.
Nice.
Yeah.
You know what
next movie? To Voulez-vous.
Yeah, oh yeah, from Lady Marmalade.
Yes.
Which I cannot say it, so don't make me. You know what movie kind of intrigues me is that movie 65 with Adam Driver.
I haven't seen anything.
So the way the trailer plays out, it's this guy in a spaceship, right? And he crashes. It's like him and I guess his daughter or just another survivor. He's on like a colony ship or something and he crashes, but it turns out he crashes on Earth 65 million years ago. So here's a guy with like what we think is futuristic technology, like weapons and stuff, but on Earth 65 million years ago, where they're being hunted by dinosaurs.
It looks pretty cool. That's interesting.
You should watch the trailer for it. Look up the trailer for 65.
I will, because that sounds interesting.
And I'm not a huge Adam Driver fan, but the movie looks intriguing to me. So
yeah, that just sounds really interesting. So
that, and I know it's probably gonna suck, but I'm gonna go see Dungeons and Dragons. Honor Among Thieves with Chris Pine.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to see that because it was directed by. Oh, shit. He played. He was in Bones.
Oh,
he played the psychiatrist.
I think I'm having a stroke.
Yeah.
There's two directors, John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein.
It's John Francis Daly, who played the psychiatrist in Bones. And he's actually written and directed some other movies, which I wasn't aware of. And when I found out it was him who wrote and directed this new Dungeons & Dragons movie, I was very surprised. That's the only reason that I want to see it. It's because I like him a lot. So I will bite the bullet and hope it doesn't suck.
I mean, so the trailer does have a lot of elements that I like as someone who played D&D back in the day. Like, if you pay attention, you see a gelatinous cube,
yeah,
a mimic, an owl bear, like all the cool shit, and all the characters are there: the rogue, the sorcerer, the bard, the warrior. You know, I just want a good Dungeons and Dragons movie. You know,
yeah.
The thing that bothered me, and I saw the trailer with our buddy Mark Boutros, and we both looked at each other. I just thought it was weird that in the trailer, the music is Whole Lot of Love by Led Zeppelin. And I didn't get it. Like, it's Dungeons and Dragons, Honor Among Thieves, and that's the song that they play over the trailer. It just
seems kind of odd.
Right? It just seemed out of place.
Yeah. You know, I understand playing Immigrant Song in Guardians of the Thor.
In Thor. Oh, that was freaking amazing
that made a lot of sense. And even though it was the Thor movie, it still made sense for that universe.
Yeah.
That Whole Lot of Love doesn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense for Dungeons and Dragons. But, you know, hey, anytime I hear Led Zeppelin, I don't care, because I'll be a happy
guy. That's true.
You know?
That is true.
Because I love me some Led Zeppelin.
Were there
any other trailers that came out?
So let's see. I'm looking at the list here. The next Transformers movie.
Next.
Rise of the Beasts. Yeah, I don't remotely give a fuck.
Rise of the Beast, that's what she said.
Yeah. And let's see, what else? Oh, Fast X, which is the next Fast and Furious.
I saw the trailer for that, and I just have one question about that movie. What the fuck is Rita Moreno doing in that movie?
I didn't even notice that. She is?
Yep. Yes, she is.
Huh.
Did she just wander over from the West Side Story set? You know, did she have a senior moment? And they said, hey, let's get her in here real quick.
Son of a bitch, you are right. Rita Moreno to play Vin Diesel's grandmother in Fast X.
Okay. I didn't know what character she was playing. Yeah. It just seems like such an odd movie for her to be in.
The Fast and the Furious movies are a guilty pleasure for me. I like them. Like the third one, Tokyo Drift, was terrible. And then they got better after that. But now they are so over the top ridiculous that they lost their charm. Like, it used to be about these street racers, you know, gritty guys on the streets of of Los Angeles and, you know, whatever. You know, and the whole spy angle, like all this stuff. Now they're crashing into helicopters and shit and landing on top of trains. And I'm like, come on. You know, like, is this a Mission Impossible movie, you know,
right?
Or a James Bond movie? But yeah, they kind of have a special place in my heart. But dude, the movie we all must see, and it comes out pretty soon, Cocaine Bear.
Yes. I just saw the trailer for that yesterday, as a matter of fact. And
comes out in on the 24th, it comes out of this month.
That looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, I can't wait. And it's directed by Elizabeth Banks.
Really?
Yep. And she did an interview where she said, I know that this could kill my career. She's like, but I had to make this movie. It's based on it's obviously loosely based, but it's based on a true story. And, yeah. You know, I think it's going to be insane in a good way.
I do too.
And the fact that Universal took a flyer on a movie like that.
Sure, you know? How much cocaine they were doing.
Right? And let's see what else. So Scream 6, which I don't really care. Creed 3, which I like I said, I like the Creed movies. They're good. And then Air, a movie about the Air Jordan brand. What?
Oh, boy, that sounds exciting.
I didn't even know about that. I didn't see it. I guess
how
I did. I wasn't paying attention.
How exciting could a fucking sneaker brand be?
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon, Chris Tucker, Jason Bateman, Marlon Wayans, and Viola Davis. Holy shit.
How do you like them sneakers?
Huh. Well, Ben Affleck's directing it, and he usually, you know...
He's a good director.
He usually comes through. Let's see. Yeah. From award-winning director Ben Affleck, Air reveals the unbelievable game-changing partnership between a then-rookie Michael Jordan and Nike's fledgling basketball division, which revolutionized the worlds of sports and contemporary culture with the Air Jordan brand.
Well, I can't really argue with that.
No, that's for sure. I just don't know that I'd watch a movie about it, but maybe I would, but I'm not going to go to the theater to see that. That's
yeah,
sure.
No. That actually sounds more like a topic for a documentary than a drama.
Yeah. So, all right, that seems about it, dude.
All right. Well, that's enough. That's quite a few. There were more that came out during the Super Bowl than I thought.
But yeah, there were a lot of them.
The big three.
Yep.
All right. So, we have dead celebrities to talk about.
Yes. Oh, or so okay.
Upcoming dead celebrities.
Let's see.
While you're looking for the website,
let's look at this. So I always just go to deathlist.net.
Okay. All right. Let me get over there.
So, yeah, because they rank them, you know, this year, previous year, how many times they appeared on the list. Okay. And it's always funny whenever I go to this and look at it, I'm like, holy shit, that person's still alive.
Once again, Dick Van Dyke is number one.
Yep.
He's appeared 8 times.
Yep.
Number two is Henry Kissinger.
Henry Kissinger. He's always the one that I always think died like yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He proves the old saying, only the good die young.
Yeah.
The only thing that I don't like is it doesn't say, oh, he's 100. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Bob Barker's
100.
God damn.
Alan Greenspan. I wonder, so this guy, Nigel Starmer Smith, rugby commentator, he's only 79, but I wonder what's up with him because he's number 5 this year. I'm going to look that up.
He's probably like the UK's Harry Carey.
Nigel Starmer Smith, rugby union player. Yeah, boom, 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 boom. What's up with him? Huh. Oh. He's been suffering. He suffers from frontotemporal dementia.
Yeah.
And lives in a care home. That was revealed in March of 2021. So I'm guessing that's why he's on the list.
Yeah, that would,
because he's sense. Relatively young compared to all these other people.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, Jimmy Carter, I'm convinced, is going to live. He's 99. I'm pretty sure he's going to live to be 199.
Yeah, I think so. It'll be a sad day when he dies.
Yeah, man. That to me is such a fascinating story. A guy who's seen as one of our weakest presidents, the national malaise comment, the hostage crisis, all that stuff. And yet he went on to become like a revered elder statesman, and all the other work that he did, you know, for Habitat for Humanity and everything. You know, he's now just such a well-respected figure.
Yeah.
You know,
Not to mention all the diplomatic missions that he went on even after his presidency yes. ended. And that was for not just Democratic presidents, because I know he went on quite a few when Clinton was president, but he also went on some for Bush Sr. So, you know, he just really, he is an amazing person. And the fact that nobody's made a movie about his life yet is a shame.
It's got to be coming.
You know what I mean? It would have to be a two-parter or something. It would have to be a limited series because he's just lived so long and has had such an interesting life.
Definitely.
And I think, is Rosalind still alive? Or did she pass on?
Let's see. Rosalind Carter. 95 years old.
Ah. Oh, he got himself a younger woman.
Yeah, look at that.
Playa.
Yeah, no. So yeah, she's still alive. So let's see. Rounding out the top 10, we have Dick Cheney, Harry Belafonte, and Mel Brooks. Let's see. She's number 15 on the list. Rosalind Carter.
Oh, okay. Gee,
Peter Ethel Kennedy. How is Ethel Kennedy still alive?
Right.
I thought she died like years ago.
They have her listed as 95. That can't. She has to be 195.
Huh.
I just can't. Is she really? That surprises me.
What is that? Yeah, no, 94. Children, Robert Kennedy Jr., Kerry Kennedy. I always felt so bad for her because of all the, you know, all the death and tragedy that she saw in her family, you know, all these decades. I just always felt bad. It was always like the next bad thing coming down the pike.
Huh. Yeah, there was a family that was cursed, whether they brought it upon themselves or not. That was no family should have to go through what they did.
Okay, so we're about to run out of time. So, on the celebrity, and I want, before we get tons of hate mail, I want to make something clear, folks. This is, yes, it's morbid, but we're not wishing for the death of anybody. We're just, these are people who are astonishingly old, and we're just making a prediction as to who's going to be the next one to go. So yeah. I'm not wishing for death, except maybe Ayatollah Khomeini.
Yeah.
He's on the list. Ayatollah Khomeini, he's 84.
Now, so, Norman Lear was on the list too, but he's way down at 28, and he's 101.
Yeah. Oof. Yoko Ono is right above him at 90.
I didn't realize she was that old.
Yeah.
Prunella Scale, Sybil Fawlty.
You want to see a funny video? Just look up, just Google Chuck Berry, Yoko Ono. It's a video where Chuck Berry's playing with John Lennon, and Yoko Ono just starts screeching into her microphone. Chuck Berry's eyes get wide, and he's got this what the fuck look on his face. And then all of a sudden, Yoko Ono's microphone goes out. So someone must have said, oh shit, Chuck's pissed.
Yeah.
Kill that microphone immediately. Yeah, it's hilarious.
All right, so of this list,
go ahead. Who are you picking?
I'm going to say Norman Lear, because I actually think probably it's time for him, and Bob Newhart, who's at number 37, and he's 94.
94. Okay, so those are your two picks.
Yeah,
I am going to go with the aforementioned Jimmy Carter. And number two for me will be, I'm going to say Bob Barker. 100 years All old. Right. Jimmy's 99. Bob's 100. That's a good run. And I know Jimmy Carter's a tough old son of a bitch, but he's been through a lot, you know?
He has. He really has.
So it's bound to catch up with you. So there you have it, folks.
Yeah, and Dick Van Dyke's not allowed to die, so.
No. No, not at all.
Neither is Mel Brooks. Speaking of Mel Brooks, the sequel to History of the World Part 1 is coming out next month on Hulu.
I saw that.
And it's somewhat of a limited series. I think it's like it's several episodes. So it's not like an actual movie. But I'm intrigued. I will watch it.
Oh, I absolutely will.
He didn't direct it, but he did do some writing on it, and that's enough for me.
Oops, what is this?
And it's got a hell of a cast, too.
Definitely. Yeah, I am absolutely looking forward to that. And it was something that I didn't realize that I needed.
Right?
You know?
Right, yeah. Trust me, at this point in history, we all need as much humor as we can get.
Abso-fucking-lutely, dude. Absolutely. So there we have it, folks. And that is our show. What are you working on, buddy?
Not a goddamn thing until I move, which will be in a couple of weeks. And speaking of which, I have a GoFundMe going on, which will still be going on when this comes out on Monday, that I will put a link to. I have everything taken care of other than the expenses for moving my furniture, which I can't afford because I don't have the money for it. So if anybody out there, you know, can spare a few bucks to help me with that, I'm more than halfway to my goal. So thank you to all of those who have donated so far. I would deeply appreciate it. And I had to think long and hard. And I had mentioned doing a GoFundMe to you weeks ago in kind of a joking way. But as time has gone on and moving has gotten closer and closer and resources and options have gotten fewer and fewer, I had to do what I didn't really want to do. Because I feel like I'm out on a street corner with a hat in my hand. So it's not very comfortable for me to do that, but I've got to do what I've got to do, and I've got to get my furniture moved somehow.
I hear you, brother.
If anybody can help, I would deeply, deeply appreciate it. And even if you just share the link that I'll post up, that would be a lot of help too. And what are you working on? What do you got coming up?
Well, not too much, man. Again, Tom Ryan and I are working on, our distribution plan for Return to the Theater of Terror, because people have been asking about streaming or DVD or whatever. So we're trying to get that finalized so we can get the movie out there. Beyond that, my real world job has been keeping me so busy. I just haven't had energy to like sit down and update scripts or anything, you know?
Yeah, no,
but
I get it.
It tends to come in waves, my job. So once the current projects that I'm working on kind of wind down, hopefully there'll be some time, that I can get to that stuff. But I got to pay dem bills.
Yeah, don't we all?
And last I checked, Goodwill from people they don't accept that at the grocery store. So. But there's always something cooking. I'm always talking to Tom or Mark Boutros or somebody about a collaboration, The only biggest thing that I'm thinking about is my daughter's musical will be coming up in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And she's plays the lead of Ariel in Footloose. And so she's very excited and very nervous, but I'm sure she's going to be amazing.
Well, absolutely. I have no doubt about that. Even if she does drive a post office truck.
Dude, when I went down to Florida to my office in Florida, they at the rental agency, they were like, well, your choices are a little limited. We've got a Kia Soul. And I immediately thought of you. And I'm like, no fucking way. Give me a skateboard before you give me a Kia Soul. That's
yeah. All right. So on that note, until next time, may all of your journeys be filled with pure imagination.
Wait.